Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Glad to have you with us. I'm Kathleen, as always. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Dibs.
Hey guys.
This week we are concluding our discussion on season two of The L House, and there's, like we mentioned in last week's episode, quite a lot going on at the tail end of season two. So we're looking forward to getting into all of that because we have a lot of feels about everything, and there's a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of epic stuff. There's so many cool things going on. But before we dive into all of that, just our usual spoiler warning slash disclaimer. Season two did come out a while ago, but if you aren't familiar with the show and or if you haven't caught up and are trying to avoid spoilers in general, we're probably getting into everything and then some. So, listener discretion is advised. But as always, for anybody who does stick around and manages to make it through all of our ramblings, thank you so much. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. And we hope you enjoy The L House as much as we do because the show
Clearly, we
ended
loved it.
not too long ago. But yeah, we're still like screaming about it every day.
Absolutely. You are so right that we've been screaming about it ever since these episodes came out because there's so much going on with them. So let's do a little bit of a recap, right? How did Hootie get the letter in the first place? So if you guys will remember, Ida basically sent or streamed a video out to the entirety of the Boiling Isles on Pentagram, where King introduces himself and asks to meet his dad and all those things. And we kind of get a hint there that there's someone much bigger that does look like King that saw that video. And that same person writes a letter to King and sends it to Hootie. And Hootie, unfortunately, eats the letter. And that seems to be just a simple throwaway thing at the time. And this is what I love about the show, but that these throwaway things come back to bite us so much later. You're like, that's what this was for, kind of deal, right? And that's what happens here because Hootie, in all the excitement or commotion of finding out what Belos really who Belos really is and what he's actually planning and all those things, he basically pukes out the letter that he had eaten. And this is how King finds out that that he has a family that he can go to or talk to. And that's an interesting thing because as much as he loves Ida and Luce, he's always wondered who he is and where he came from and why was he left here all by himself, and he wanted answers. So that's where this takes a turn because this is King's turn to shine, I would say. What did you think of that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I love that the show kind of gives all the characters their own sort of arc or mini arc and allows them, like you said, their own time to shine. And I think for King too, it's also just really nice to see because, like we mentioned in the last episode, or the last podcast episode rather, I think King has spent so long wanting this and something that I think we as viewers want him to have too, that by the time we get to this point where he's so close and this seems to be like the final piece of the puzzle, I think we're all rooting for him and we're all like, yeah, go out and find your family and I hope it works and I hope he's like reunited with his dad and you know whoever else
All
is
sweet
out there.
things. Yeah.
Yeah. So watching the episode the first time and of course not knowing where it was gonna go, I was really excited to see
Oh, God,
what they
yeah.
were gonna do, and it ended up being very different than what I imagined. But
Oh, yeah, because I think we saw the
yeah.
promo art that Dana drew for this, and we were like, holy shit. But
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, yeah, it ends up being it ends up being a lot different than what I thought the
Oh,
episode
yeah.
was gonna be, which
It
is
started out
definitely,
lighthearted, to be honest
yeah,
with
and then
you.
it just got kind of dark. But I mean, I think, and we've said this multiple times before about this show and plenty of other shows, that even though they might be marketed towards a certain demographic or a certain audience, a lot of times they have like really, heavy or deep things and they
Oh,
cover
yeah.
some pretty intense topics and stuff like that. And I think this show does a good job with that without being kind of
For
too
sure.
explicit or in your face about it. It's a lot of like, here's this happy scenario, or like here's something kind of like random and wacky, and then like 20 minutes later you're like sobbing with all the characters and you're like, why did this happen?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really nice to kind of see King have his moment, like to shine, so to speak, even if it didn't end up being what he wanted it to be.
Oh
It was
yeah,
really nice
it's
to see
like
that, like.
very different from what he wanted it to be. And we'll get to that because that's a very interesting revelation. Like a huge revelation, I gotta say. But let's talk about Ida in this episode because I, for as many walls as she's put up, she loves these kids so much. And the minute she realizes that these kids could be involved in something that Belos wants, it hurts her. She's like, I thought she Luce was just some long a lost kid, and because of me, she's involved in some crazy shit. And they're kids, they don't deserve this. And Lilith is, again, she's grown on me. Lilith has grown on me by this time, and she's amazing. And she being the older sister that she is, she's basically like calming her down and telling her, hey, it's okay. They're going far away in search of King's family. They will not be touched by Belos. They won't be here for this. So it's all going to be okay. Let them take their time. We'll deal with whatever Belos has to go deal with and all those things. And it's really heartbreaking to see Ida that sad about it because you see how much she cares, despite the fact that she's kept people away for all these years. And it's kind of sweet to see. What did you think of that?
I mean, it's like you said, it's very sweet to see, but also I think too, Luce just kind of has an effect on people.
Oh,
Like,
for
even when
sure.
people are initially kind of like standoffish or don't really want to be,
Amity. But yeah, I know what you mean. Let's
no,
go.
that's a good one. But I mean, yeah, like even when people don't want to be around her, or let me rephrase. Even when Ida maybe necessarily doesn't want people around her, I think Luce
Yeah.
has like this effect of just kind of like warming her way into people's hearts. And
Oh,
I think
Amity
working
put that
together, it
right.
worked with Amity. And they end up like just clicking. Like, I mean, Luce just,
Yeah.
again, she just, there's something about her where it's just like she's so endearing, she's so wholesome, you can't not love her.
Yeah,
And I
for
think too, like
sure.
you said, like despite all the walls that Ida put up and everything that she did to initially like try and distance herself from Luce, or maybe try to make it so that she wasn't getting as attached, it's kind of obvious that like partway through she's like, screw it, I'm attached, like
That's my kid.
this is my idea.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really love too, like the whole like found family trope.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't know, it just,
One of
it went
the
so
best
well,
tropes
it's
have
so
done
good.
well, let's be honest.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and I think the
absolutely.
show does a really good job with it.
Oh, for
So,
sure.
yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that by this point in the season and in the show, when they're kind of faced with this huge, daunting task of stopping Belos, it's not surprising that Ida is worried and that she's like questioning whether or not she should even let Luce and King and
Be
maybe
there.
Moody, like, yeah,
Yeah.
participate, because it's not, I mean, like the stakes
It's
are probably as high
unpredictable.
as they've ever
Yeah.
been.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And I love how Lilith and Hootie's friendship has developed throughout the series as the most chaotic duo ever. And I love it. I love how Lilith is like, Hootie, why don't you go with them to protect them? It's on you now. And Hootie takes that very seriously. And while all that is comedic, right? That's fun. But where this episode really takes a dark turn. But in the beginning, you see lots of other creatures that look like King, right? And they're calling themselves Titan Trappers. But then it kind of clicks for us that hey, the Boiling Isles is formed on a dead Titan's body, like. That's a sentient being that was so potent with magic that it created an ecosystem, right? And then why were these people hunting titans? What did titans do to make these people want to hunt them, right? And why does King look like, I mean, why does King look like them comes later. But then there's also the whole question of there's some things peppered throughout this episode that kind of hinted what King actually is and what these guys actually are. So let's talk about that and the big reveal, because that was like painful. In the sense that it was like, I think it was in front of us the whole time, but also like not, because people had made guesses at this. But then when this was confirmed, it was still a big surprise for us. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, I think it was very cleverly disguised, but at the same time, like you said, that there were clues right in front of us for a good amount of time. I think like it's peppered throughout the show, probably right from the beginning when King starts questioning, like, who am I? What am I? Where did I come from? All these like really deep questions that unfortunately he didn't have the answer to, and we didn't really know either. But yeah, it is a little bit weird that like they're on this island and they're calling themselves Titan Trappers, but the Boiling Isles is like it, I mean,
The
it basically
Titan.
formed, yeah, it's like exactly, it's the Titan, it's a whole ecosystem that's like built on essentially
The
a
bones of the
corpse,
Titan.
the
Yeah,
bones of the
exactly.
Titan. And so yeah, it makes you wonder like what were the Titan Trappers trapping exactly when there were no Titans left? And then it starts off like being like a very lighthearted episode where like
Yeah, where
King
King
meets
is,
all these
yeah,
other
exactly.
beings that look like him, and he's feeling like really accepted and I think like
He's
welcomed.
happy
And
about
then
this. Yeah.
yeah, and then we get this really big reveal, which is that the people on this island are just that, they're people, they're not even beings like him, they're just
They've
disguised
just
like him
disguised themselves.
because they know what he is. And we get like this big kind of bombshell revelation that King is actually a baby
A
Titan.
baby
And
Titan, the last son of the Boiling Isles. That's who King is.
yeah, and
Oh
so
my
that's like a
God.
huge reveal. But also it just, it's so, by the time you get to that point, I think, I mean, obviously I can't speak for anybody else, but I was just like, I felt so bad for King. I was like, I want to give him a hug, like just
Yes,
like turn the
there's so
screen and
much
give him a hug.
yeah. Oh my God, absolutely.
Because
There's
he spent
this.
so long looking for his family or anybody like him, and he finally had like this like tiny little like breadcrumb trail to follow, and then like at the end it's like this kind
It's
of, it's like
destroyed.
one wish is like dangled in front of him, and then yeah, ultimately it's just destroyed. And I think there's just something really like
I want to
depressing
talk
about
about a
watching it
few
happen.
scenes in this episode that basically broke my heart, right? Because Luz is the one who puts the clues together that King is a baby Titan, because the leader of this Titan Trapper group tells her what the characteristics of a Titan are, and they're very similar to what King has been doing all his life. And the other thing is that and they even have and they realize what King is, and they actually want to sacrifice him to the collector to basically, revive the collector from whatever sleep state this collector being is in at this point. But then the problem is that and Luz tries to save him from it, and he's like, they're my family. Why are you trying to do this? And she's like, they're not your family. They're you're a Titan. You're not one of them. And then he literally says that I just wanted to be prepared for a world without you in it. I know you have to go back. You're not gonna stay with me forever. That broke my heart. That was like really sad. And
It was, yeah.
and
I mean, also
then
too,
yeah,
because
go
I
ahead.
think part of it is just, I think as maybe older viewers and maybe people who have been maybe more jaded by real life experiences, I think people like you and me and viewers who are like adults and or just older in general are likely to understand that like, yes, this is a story, and like at this point in time, they're all together. But like, Luz does have a life back in the human realm. She does have
A
a
mother,
family and like commitments to a certain extent, and it's not entirely feasible for her to stay in the Boiling Isles long term, at least not without some sort of like approval or like blessing, I guess, from Camila, which, you know, at this point she
She
hadn't
doesn't
exactly
have.
been granted.
Yes. Exactly.
So I think we realize that, but it's also just kind of depressing to realize that, like, even in the context of the show, characters like Ida and King and like Amity are kind of already like preparing themselves for that reality where it's like Luz has to go back and she might not come back to the
She
boiling
might not
islands, or
be
she may
able to
not
come
want
back.
to.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah. Or like the even more depressing reality that she may not want to, that she may have
Ooh,
to like
yeah.
done this whole thing and then just said, okay, this was a good ride. We're like, we had a good time while it lasted. Now I gotta get back to my other life and like, you know, just
Yeah, that's gonna suck.
like reintegrate into like human society and just like forget about the boiling isles, which I think Luz wouldn't do. But I think like for some characters like Ida and King especially, I think that fear was always there that like
She's gonna go
whatever
away and
time they
not
had
wanna
with
come
Luz,
back.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like their thing was like whatever time we have, it's finite. It's not, she's not gonna be here forever. And so we just have to make the most of the time we have. And so yeah, like even though it was like a really like depressing scene in the sense, like King is going through all these things, his like logic behind it is also just like very like
Practical,
moving and sad. Yeah.
unfortunately,
That too,
right?
yeah, it is practical. But it's also just very sad too that he's
Yeah.
thinking in those terms that like I need to find my family sooner rather than later because I might not always have Ida and I won't always have Luz. And like I just I if I like I just need other people or like other beings like me. And I think we all know that like of course Ida would not let him go that easily. Luz would not let him go that easily. But yeah,
But
it's
I don't
kind of
think he
sad when you
knows
realize he's
that.
like,
Like, it's dumb, but
yeah.
he feels that way at this point.
Yeah.
The other thing that really broke my heart is once they escape that Titan Trapper Island, and they're on the boat back to the Boiling Isles, King just looks at the bones of his dad and just says, "Hi," because that's all he's ever wanted to do. And it breaks your heart to think that that's how it happened at this point. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, it is really bittersweet because, like, on the one hand, you find, like, I think King found some answers. I
Some,
don't know if
yeah.
they were the answers he was supposed to be looking for, but he knew more than he did at the start,
Start of
which
the
is, you
journey,
know,
yeah.
it's like a, I guess, a net gain. But I think he still has so many questions, and it's also just like he's the last of his kind. Like, there's nobody else, so he can't really like his wish of finding others like him is unfortunately not really going to be fulfilled. But I mean, the only, or not the only, but one of the best things about his situation is really that he has people like Ida and Luz and
Who
Lily
love him and
who
care about
can,
him.
yeah,
Yeah.
and like they'll support him and they'll be there for him, you know, through the whole thing, which is, you know, really what they did. And so that was really nice to see that, like, even though he was kind of in this like weird sort of phase of like having some answers, but then having just a ton more questions and kind of processing everything that had happened to him, he has a good support system. And even though the world is kind of just falling to pieces around him a little bit, that support
Yeah.
system doesn't really change or like waver. It's just still there. So yeah, that part was nice to see.
Absolutely. And the scariest part of this episode was that at the very end we see the Owl House surrounded by the Emperor's scouts, which is kind of like scary because Ida and Lilith are still in there. What the hell? And Hootie isn't there to protect them. He's with Luz and King. So like that's an impossible situation right now. So, and I love how it builds the suspense of that moment because the next episode we literally stay at Hexside because this is really important because the last time we saw Hunter, he was in a predicament of sorts, like a pretty big one, let's not lie. He was basically running from Velos and he didn't want to be found. But now we find out the scope of how sinister Belos can be, in the sense that he's literally tricking students into joining covens so that he can, you know, drain their magic for the Day of Unity. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about how cool Gus is for figuring this out and stopping a coven head.
Yeah,
And
I mean,
especially a coven head that's good at his type of magic, like illusion magic. So let's talk about all of that.
yeah, Bellows is like, that's like, I mean, There's a lot of adjectives that are
Oh, for
not great that
sure,
you can use to
dude.
describe Balance.
Oh, yeah.
But
Yeah.
I'll go for a tamer one and say that that's very sadistic, that he's going after kids and being like, sign up over here and you can join this cool coven and have a family and all of that. But really it's just like he's planning on essentially draining these kids of their
Wiping them
powers
all
and then like
out, pretty
killing them.
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course he's not told anybody anything, and these kids are oblivious, but Gus being clever enough to like figure it out was really cool. And also just Gus like watching him grow in confidence over the course of the season was really cool to see.
For
And by this
sure.
point, he's definitely, I think, comfortable in himself and his abilities, and like he knows he's good. And so when you get to this point where it's like Hexahead is attacked and they're fighting Coven guards, he like pulled out all the stops to do this really cool thing of like making the whole place just like full of illusions, and just like single-handedly almost just like taking down a huge amount of guards. So that was really cool to see. But then of course, because he's going up against a coven head who has the same abilities as he does, I think it's like a little bit of a challenge for him too,
Oh, it
because
is.
obviously he's good at what he does, but I don't think he's ever been tested that way.
Not
And
to
then there's
that
also like this,
extent.
and there's also like this added layer of like Hunter being in their midst and like trying to avoid
I avoid the
getting
Emperor's
captured.
scouts.
And
Exactly.
and then like Hunter and Gus having like a bonding moment. But
Want to
as
talk
light as
about
this
that.
episode is,
Go ahead. Go
I
ahead.
think it's really cool that like Gus kind of, again, like the show does a really good job of giving everybody their time to
Shine.
shine, and like this was Gus's moment,
Oh, for
so it
sure.
was really nice to see that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because there's so many added layers to this episode, and because again, there's what Hunter's going through, and then what Willow and Amity are going through as well. And we also get to see a bit of how Willow and Gus met, which is like the cutest thing ever. So yeah, it's really sweet to see. Because with Gus and Hunter's, like you said, he's hiding from the Emperor's Coven. And he's still, how do I put this? I wouldn't say he's in denial about what Belos has done. He's come to terms with it, but he's still trying to grapple with the fact that everything he's done has been at Belos's whim, and that's not a good thing. And he's dealing with the aftermath of all of that. And then they have Willow and Gus meeting, which is like the sweetest thing ever, because they were little babies who became friends under cute circumstances. And then there's this whole thing with Willow and Amity, because they've just started, communicating with each other properly again. And it's not that simple. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, I mean, the Willow and Amity thing was also just kind of really heartbreaking when you think about it, because obviously it wasn't the focus of this episode, and I think
Not
season one
yeah.
kind of touched on it a little bit. But Amity's mom is a piece of work,
Oh,
and
we have other adjectives
the
for Odalia, but I know what you mean.
no, there's a lot of adjectives you can use to describe her, but just the idea that she was so controlling that she was like almost collecting friends of her daughter is just very weird. Like, just like dictating, like, oh, you should be friends with like these types of people, or like this group, and like you can't be seen with people like this or people like that. That's just so weird and such a like dumb thing to impose on like a growing girl. It's like what impact does it have on you? And I think for Odalia especially, because she was so just like I guess consumed by this desire to have
It was
a
a
certain
single-minded
lifestyle.
effort. Yeah.
Yeah, she just like it doesn't bother her that she's basically just like ruining her daughter's life and forcing her daughter to cut
I don't
off
think she
being
cared,
friends
but
from like,
yeah.
well, I mean, obviously not if any of her later actions are anything to go
Oh,
by.
we'll get to
She
that.
probably just, I mean, I don't know how she sleeps at night, but yeah, worst mother of the year award definitely goes to her. But yeah, I mean, like, you like again, like this episode is like niceness, and it's not as heavy as the previous episode
Oh
was,
yeah,
but
it's
even though
not.
it's lighter, there are still moments. Like, we have the moments of like all these like Covent guards facing their fears, and then Gus kind of being sucked into like that same sort of like trap almost, where he's also having to face his fears. And then we get like this nice moment where like Hunter's like bonded, who is bonded with him, kind of talks him out of it and like is able to reach him, and things like that. And like the teamwork of like Amity and Willow and like the entire school and like the student body just like fighting off the Coven guards, that's really cool to see. And then
Props to
yeah,
Principal
like,
Bunkman. He really cares about these students, and I love it.
you know, which is weird because like when you see him the first time, he looks like he just doesn't care at all, and like he wouldn't care. But yeah, no, he's like one of those characters who like doesn't have a lot of screen time, but anytime he's on screen,
He's
I'm
like
like, yeah, he's
top
cool.
level, top tier.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And this kind of ends on a note where Hunter has to literally tell everyone at Hexside what Belos is planning, which kind of is
Wait.
interesting. It has interesting consequences towards the end of the series,
Yeah,
actually.
but also, like, I mean, given what the students and like just like the people in general were being subject to, I think they had a right to know. And
Oh, for sure.
if Hunter didn't tell them, I think when they found out, I think that would have been a
Even
lot.
worse.
Yeah, because it would have just inspired panic in everybody. Like, nobody wants to die, or I'm sure nobody wants to give up their magic. I mean, there might be some people, but the vast majority, I would imagine, just they're fine with the way their life is, maybe, or at least aspects of it. And they certainly don't want to have, like, you know, their magic drained out of them and, you know, be sacrificed for Bellows' weird cause.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Hunter telling them made sense because, like, they had a right to know because it was going to impact their lives. And also, Bellows can go on and on and on about how he was like a benevolent ruler, and like all these people were kind of like, you know, flocking
Please.
to him and all of that. And
You know,
he could
after
be, you
Hollow
know,
Mind, he cannot make that claim. Like,
well, he really has no ground to stand on, but he can
yeah.
pretend and then, you
And
know,
that's what he's been
project his
doing.
image.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
yeah, I mean, when the people find out, there will be like panic and uprising and all of that. So I liked the idea that like maybe Hunter, like I'm assuming Hunter did it just because the people deserve to know what they were facing, but I also do like the idea that maybe some part of him was like, let's just like open a can of worms and see what
And let's
happens.
just fuck shit up for this dude. Yeah,
Yeah.
pretty much. I know. Exactly. So now let's talk about the next, because this didn't focus on the main tree. Not, I wouldn't call them the main characters. I would call them, I don't know how to say this, because this episode didn't have Ida, Luce, and King in it at all. But the next one is heavily focusing on them, and even though it starts out light, it kind of turns heavy, and it breaks your heart to see because there's so much going on in it. Like, let's talk about how the Owl House has been completely raided, and let's talk about how they have to find like Lilith and Ida hiding out, trying to figure out how they can overturn Belos's whole draining spell scheme, and how Ida has been trying to keep Luce and King away from all of this but couldn't, and how she realized how and how when Luce tells them that King is a baby Titan, how each of them react. So let's talk about that, because there's a lot going on with all of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. And I think one of like the things that kind of just like bummed me the most was that like the Owl House kind of got trashed because for so many episodes
I know
it
that
was
was
just
your
like
home
there and just
base.
like it was like that, but it was also just like it, I don't know, there was just something like really, I think, sweet about the idea of it standing as like this last kind of like safe
Bastion
haven.
of
Yeah, like that too. Because like it in some ways, and maybe this is like a weird comparison, but like it reminded me of Ida because it was like Ida was like one of the last, if not the last, witch to have wild magic.
Oh, yeah.
And the owl house is like kind of like
It
her, just like
represents
a quirky
her.
place. Like, yeah, that was like the last kind of safe haven for that type of lifestyle, I guess. I don't know. And then it, like it withstood so much and like crazy stuff too, like growing legs and like just walking around and crazy things like that. And then for it to like get trashed now, it's like, I don't know, you just kind of like it tugs at your heartstrings a little
It
bit, I think, or at
does.
least
I
mine, because it
agree.
was just like it was kind of like you said, like this last bastion for them, and now that's even that's not there. But it's also like that, I guess, like it's not so much a trope, but like I guess this, like, I don't even know what to call it. This thing of like home not always being a place, it's more like the people you're with. So like even
Agreed.
though the owl house is gone, obviously everybody makes it out okay, and Lilith and Ida manage to like escape to the knee, and you know they're not hurt or like gravely injured or anything, even though Ida's, you know, whimsical house is kind of like
Gone,
in a,
unfortunately.
yeah, it's not in the greatest state. But yeah, I mean, again, it's just it was nice to see that even though like that happened, and even though the owl house got kind of destroyed, which was bittersweet, at least like the people who lived there were, you know, okay, and they made it out unscathed, and you know, that like there is like some positives to come out of that. But yeah, I mean, you know, even though that like the episode is so kind of like it starts off heavy, you got like these moments of levity because like you mentioned, there's the whole bit where like King, like his backstory is basically revealed, and Lilith goes from like, oh, he's like my friend, to oh my God, this is like a huge like
This is the
revelation, and I'm
Titan,
like,
like,
I must worship him type mentality. And it just kind of makes King uncomfortable to the point where he's just like
Bye.
kind of
I'm not
runs
dealing with
away,
this.
and then
Bye.
he just befriends like a random Covent Garden named Steve, and they're just hanging out, and it's just like part of the episode is like them just going on an adventure, just like helping people, but like also talking about like expectations and stuff, and it's just like
Which is pretty deep, not gonna lie.
it is, but it's also like bits of levity in like an otherwise kind of heavy episode,
Let's
because
talk
part of this
about the
episode too
heavy.
is like, I mean, I think you brought it up already, that part of it is just like Ida being concerned about what the Day of Unity means for Luce and King, and wanting to guarantee their safety, which I completely understand. But in a situation like this, nothing unfortunately is a guarantee. And the other thing too is like, I know she loves them, but it's also like, lady, if you think they're gonna let you go through with this, you've got
By
another
yourself, no,
side.
yeah, they're not gonna let that happen. But let's also talk about how Ida is so desperate that she gets in touch with Rain and tells them to basically take Luce and King away so that the kids are safe. Basically, Luce wants to get François back for King because the Owl House was raided and François was raided with the Owl House. And again, I love how Ida's like so dedicated to keeping these two safe, but it's also painful because Luce overhears her talking to Rain and in a very surprising scene, which is again beautifully animated, but it breaks your heart. You see Ida and Luz fighting against each other. It is not a pretty sight. Because I love how Luz is like, "You can't make me," and Ida's like, "I can, and I'm going to do this." And it's just so painful because, like, I hate to see them fight. Because you know they love each other. You know, it's just coming from a place of love, but they can't. And like you said, they're at a crossroads here. Like,
Yeah,
Ida wants to
it's just like
keep them safe, but then Luz is like, "I can't let you go through this by yourself. I'm responsible for this and I need to help." And it's like, just, it's a whole thing.
I think there's also like a a desperation to it because both of them have a point to make and neither are willing to compromise on
Oh
it.
yeah.
Even for Ida, like having Lucent King there is not an option because
No.
it's going to be incredibly dangerous and she can't afford to have them. So, yeah.
Exactly. But then in the end, when it feels, and for a bit, it does feel like Ida gets captured and taken away. And there's this moment, again, props to Wendy Malick for how she voices Ida, because oh my God, like top notch, right? The way she's like, because there is no plan. Me and Lilith, we don't have allies, we don't have magic, we're useless. We just have you and King, and I was gonna do anything to keep you safe. So you feel that when she says it. I'm like, oh my God, don't make me cry. Don't do this to me
Yeah,
now.
no, it's a really like bittersweet thing because you get where she's coming from, but at the same time it's like I think Luz just feels responsible and she feels some level of guilt about this whole thing, and so she doesn't want to not be there with Ida, but she also doesn't want to hurt Ida and doesn't want to fight her the way they've been fighting just to, like, make their point. But for Ida, it's like Luce and King are all she has, and like Lilith too, of course. But Lilith is gonna, at least stand with her. So there's that. But like, she moved Luce and King away so that like at least their safety is guaranteed, which is like a nice thought, but not entirely practical.
I agree, but like you said, I can see where she's coming from with this, and I can see where Luce is coming from on this too. So
I mean, I think like for her, she's looking at it, it's like it's not practical for them to be there, but for them, it's just like, where else are we
we
gonna be?
cannot be
Like,
there. Yeah,
exactly.
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I love how the minute Ida breaks down like this, the fight goes out of Luce, and she's just like, okay, fine, just fight back, get out of this hairy situation, and I'll do anything you say. I'll go back if you have to, just fight back, because she really thinks that the Emperor's Coven has them now. But the cool twist is that Rain is the one that sent these guys to get them. And they're safe now, which is the sweetest thing, because you hear the relief in Edith's voice, and when she's like, "Luce, it's okay, we're safe," and it's really sweet. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, it is very wholesome. And also just like, I guess like in terms of planning, like that part always just made me curious. Like, how long would they have had to plan this? Like, this would have had to have been in place, I think, well before any sort of information got leaked, or like before Belos made his big reveal and speech to like all the people and
And
beings
we'll
in the
get to
Boiling
that.
Isle.
We'll get to that. But yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of cool because it shows like some, I guess, level of thought went into this. Because yeah, it's kind of like an intricate plan when you consider that like Rain had to, like there were so many different variables that it very easily could have gone wrong, but Rain seemed to have something in place that took into account multiple different possibilities, I'm guessing, or like at the very least, maybe they knew enough about Belos and Belos' plan that they knew how to act accordingly. But yeah, it is like really cool that like they were kind of, I guess, playing a long game of like pretending to be brainwashed, but then secretly
Yeah, I
setting all of this
love
up
that. I
so that
love that
like,
Rain did
yeah.
that. They were really smart to do it, though. Like, really, I have to say.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think like Ida's whole flashback episode where like
It
she's
proved that.
reliving her childhood with
And
Rain, yeah, it proves that
I
like
have to
100%.
say, it's so dumb that these two love each other so much. It's ridiculous. It's really dumb to me. And I absolutely, and when I say dumb, I love it. Give me more of this kind of dynamic, because I hate it, and it's dumb. Okay, like I have to say.
Mean that in a good way. Some in the best way.
Yes, absolutely, because they're so stupid. Like, literally, it's like, Rain, you could have told me. And Rain is just like, is it so hard to believe that I wanted to keep you out of this so I could protect you? You would do anything to make this right, though. I knew it. But then, like, oh my God. I hate.
Yeah,
It's
no,
dumb. Okay? It's
totally with you. Like, they could have been less cute. Didn't ask to be like
Yeah, I didn't ask for them to
totally
be
in
like
with another
this, but
pair.
here we are. Like, I whatever. I mean, like, okay. But the cute thing is at the end, because Ida did ask Luz to grab a very particular box, and the label for that box is very misleading, mind you. But Ida, being the cool mom that she has basically been saving Palestrum Wood in a box labeled for something so gross that nobody will want to go near it to touch it. So she can't, so she it's really sweet that she helps that she helps Luz carve her palisman, and that's where we get to this. It's really sweet, I have to say, because again, we've been leading up to this for quite some time, and the fact that we got this now, just before their big fight, before the Day of Unity, I think that's really telling. So let's talk about the next step, because this is where the Day of Unity thing comes to a head, because again, it's like we know that Alador and Odalia have been supplying the Emperor's Coven with automatons, or like their his own per or Belus with his own personal army, and this is where Alador, of all people, starts questioning that. Like, why does Belus need so much security for the Day of Unity? What's going on with this? And all that stuff. Let's also talk about Luz's Palisman, because I think the concept that they came up with for this is really cool. And also some very wholesome moments with Ida, Luz, and King, and also a very sweet, wholesome moment with Luz and Amity. So let's talk about all of that, because there's a lot going on with this.
Oh my God, there really is. Yeah, it was so weird that it took Alador so long to A, start questioning things, and then B, just also just stand up to his wife. Like, oh my God, dude. Like, I get that.
You've been
I
in a
mean, on
toxic
some level,
relationship for quite some time now, okay? Like,
yeah, that's what it seems like. But also, like, on some level, I think I understand that maybe his thing was like, if he just doesn't question it, just does his job, it's probably minimal risk to him and his kids and his wife. I don't really know how. I mean, just based off the way the episode goes, it's kind of hard to say that he had like a lot of feelings for Odalia. Like maybe at some point he did, but at
Maybe
this
at
point
some point, yeah,
it's
exactly.
like it's kind of just like a marriage of convenience, if or like maybe not even a marriage of convenience, but it's like
A
they're putting on a front,
transaction,
basically.
weirdly enough.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't really know what either of them are really getting out of this
Yeah, I
marriage, to
don't
be
know.
honest. But yeah, it was weird that it took so long for him to start questioning things, and like this is the episode where he starts, where he's like he's just like questioning everything, and I think the more he questions it, the more he realizes like they're in a very like sticky situation,
Oh,
because
yeah.
Odalia might think that she's got Bellows's ear and that she's got some sort of like
Leverage.
favor she can call in from him. But yeah, she's got like basically nothing. And I think he's starting to realize that. And I think for him, he's like, okay, well, this is not ideal. And we've got three kids to worry about. What are we going to do to get the kids out of here? And then you would think that Odalia's response would be like, okay, if my husband is worried, I will like,
At
calm
least
him
listen
down
to this
and
and see
like,
what we can do. Yeah, exactly.
yeah, and like just also just like, take care of her kids because she's a mom, and like, assure them that, hey, it's not a big deal. You guys are totally safe, and I'll do whatever I can to protect you. But instead, she like doubles down on this like weird thing of like, we need to supply the Emperor with these things because that's the only way we can get like
Keep our
any
status
sort of,
or whatever. Like, dude, that's
yeah.
not.
And it's also just like, I think her thing was like, she wanted to be like a high, like, I think she just assumed that like the human realm would have more of like a hierarchy, and that once Belos returned to the human realm, she would go with him, and then she would become like, somebody high up on this like
Yeah,
weird
whatever chain
hierarchy that
that,
she
yeah,
invented.
whatever, yeah,
Yeah, and it's
exactly.
like that. I mean, the human realm has a lot of things, but not anything quite like that. Or at least not in Luz's town. Maybe some other town somewhere.
Maybe, I
I don't
don't
know.
know. Yeah.
But it's just really weird that like that's what Odalia wanted, and then weirder still that like Alador took so long to question her motives and her choices, and then this episode is finally him just being like, you know what, enough is enough. And like I think he just kind of reached the breaking point because like there's only I think so much that he was willing to put up with, but then I think the final straw was kind of just Odalia admitting that like she had known about the Day of Unity all along and like what the purpose of it was, and she just didn't care, and she was
She
willing
didn't
to
care. Yeah.
potentially endanger her children's lives just to make sure that she got what she wanted.
Oh,
So
yeah.
Alador finally just like going feral and like attempting to destroy the factory and standing up to her and fighting her was nice to see. As like
It is.
depressing as it
It
is
is.
for
Yeah.
like Amity and her siblings, but yeah, I was just it was like a moment for me at least where I was like, oh my god, no, I finally like this character.
True, but let's talk about what happens with Luz and Amity, because while the adults are preparing for for the Day of Unity plan, Luz sets off to find Amity because she hasn't been able to reach out to her in quite some time. And the sweetest thing is, again, it's a very teenager thing because they're still young teenagers in this. Right, they're like what, 14, 15 at this
I
point?
think so, yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's really cute because like Amity's out there worrying about I can't get word out to Luz. I need to let her know that we're okay, that we have to do something. And then Luz is just like, I have to know that my girlfriend is okay, find out what's going on. But then we do get their first kiss, which is like the sweetest thing, and I love it. It's great. And
It
I
was
love their
so wholesome.
response to it because Luz is just like crikey, and then Amity is like, I can't believe I just did that. But it's sweet. It's like a young teenager response, which I really love. So let's talk about
Yeah,
that.
it's very in character for them. But yeah, also just very sweet that like amid everything going on, both of them are like, well, how is the other one gonna know that I'm okay? Like I have to see her, I have to like let her know. And then
Yeah.
it is like a thing, I think, where it's I don't think that like for this particular point in the story, I don't think they needed maybe necessarily to focus on Luz and Amity like reconnecting at that particular moment, but I'm very glad they did because that
Yeah.
moment was like super cute.
It was the best. Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
it
But
was really nice to see.
absolutely. But let's also talk about Hunter and Luz reconnecting at this point because again, I feel like Hunter is still grappling with a lot about what's going on with him, like him being a Grimwalker and all those things. And he made a bit of a point here, which I don't kind of agree with. I want to get your take on this because she asks him, hey, how are you doing considering all this? Like, how are you dealing with the fact that you're a Grimwalker? And he's just like, don't mention this in front of them. Don't tell them just yet. Did you tell them that you helped Belos with the collector? Like, that's not the same thing, my man. But it's but I but again, I think that feeds into loses guilt a bit, I feel like. But then also, like, dude, that's not the same thing. But I know that he doesn't mean it maliciously. So what did you think of
Yeah.
that?
No, I agree. I think for him it was just like aspiration and like trying to, in a way, almost like compartmentalize everything just so
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like not like falling apart at the seams. I mean, he was basically already doing that for several episodes, but I think it was just him attempting to hold himself together, and I think like you said, I don't think he meant it maliciously, but I think he was just like desperate to like not have anybody know that he was like telling Luz like the first thing that came to mind, and he's like, don't tell them because like you didn't tell them about Belos like what you did, right? So don't tell them about me and what I am and what I've done type thing. And I also don't think Luz would have told anybody
No,
anyway,
no.
regardless of whether or not
Yeah.
Hunter had asked her to keep it a secret. But yeah, it wasn't, I think, the best phrasing. But
No, I
also,
agree.
it was, you know, Hunter had been through a lot, and he's kind of also in a place where, like, he had more questions than answers, and like this huge day was like
It was
just
big.
hours away, basically, and
Yeah, exactly.
he was still trying to deal with a lot. So yeah, it's again not the best phrasing, but it's also like a little bit hard to fault him for it because there's a lot going on, and everything is like, I guess, intensifying really quickly. And you know, he like they just kind of have to deal with it. And like a lot of them, like, I mean, it's not like it's only kids, but you know, the main cast is basically all kids, and they all, you know, they're so young, they just kind of got like this huge thing just kind of like thrust upon them, and they just have to like deal with it. So I think part of it was just Hunter trying his best to do that. But yeah, that phrasing didn't, it didn't do anything for Luz, who I think was like already struggling with, like, you know, like guilt, and I think felt responsible for some part of all of this. And so I think part of their conversation kind of, I think, maybe influences her decision to do what she does next, which is swap places with
Oh
Hunter.
God, yes, because Kiki Moore is
And
right there. Oh, I hate this. Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
but like the way it was revealed too was so cool, because you see like Hunter have
Yes.
that conversation with Luz, but you don't see Luz have this like plan, or like you don't see Luz tell Hunter her plan. And the next time you see Kiki Moore on Hunter, you know, you think, oh my god, she's finally got him, and like this can't be good for Hunter. And like the last thing you see in the episode is like Kiki Moore has Luz, she doesn't have Hunter,
Hunter.
because it was an illusion.
Yeah, Gus,
And
he was just telling Gus to do something and then that was it. It just,
yeah.
yeah. Oh my
Yeah, but it's
God,
also just
yeah.
like the way that the whole episode plays out is like, it's so cool, but also just so intense, because
It
like
is.
by the end of the episode, Luz, Kimura has Luz, but then at the beginning of the episode too, Ida is posing as Rain and gets branded, because the whole like their whole part of
That
their
was their
plan was to have
plan. That was
like
their
Ida use her
plan.
world
Like,
magic to corrupt
yeah,
those
exactly.
draining spell. But I mean, it's still like Ida is potentially in his clutches now, Luz is in his clutches, so it's like it's not an ideal situation for them to be in. Like Ida was a
No.
planned thing, but Luz hadn't told anybody her plan. She
Oh,
just kind of, I
God.
think, made it up on the
Winging it.
fly. And yeah, and she was just like, I need to do this, and nobody was there to talk her out of it, or like tell her, like, just think it through a bit, or like let's brainstorm and come up with something else. So yeah, part of it is just like Luz is going off and doing her thing, nobody knowing anything about it.
Absolutely. But then all the while, King is having flashes of the Collector at this point in this in-between realm thing because of what happened on Titan Trapper Island. So that's a whole other thing that we're gonna have to explore in the season finale, which is King's Tide. I have to say that the promo art for this had me fucking scared for King. I really did. Not gonna lie. Okay. But it really does turn out to be his turn again to basically deal with this whole thing because you find out what how sinister this whole thing is because basically using the sigils from the abomination from the coven heads. He's basically going to drain magic from the entire population of the Boiling Isles in the name of unity or whatever. And he needs the Collector's help to do it because the Collector was the one who told him about this draining spell. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the whole switching spell and the big fight that happens because it really turns hairy pretty quick. So let's talk about all of that.
Yeah, I mean, the added element of the Collector is kind of cool, but also just very chaotic, because the Collector is basically like a little like baby
Celestial
god.
being. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically like, he's like, for all intents and purposes, he's like a 5-year-old kid with
Their
no
baby,
concept of like, you know, morality or like good versus evil. Stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just like, again, just like an added layer of chaos that like just gets thrown into the mix because Belos himself is already kind of like weird and not unpredictable, but I guess just unpredictable enough that you didn't really know how his like whole plan was gonna like the specifics of parts of his plan. And the collector is just like this added element of like who knows what the hell he's gonna do because he's basically there's like a 5-year-old kid who's got like all the power in the world to do whatever he wants, and he doesn't understand things the same way that like Luz does or
Normal people
King does
do.
or
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
So like for the collector, it's just like, oh, this is all the game, it's all fun, like let's play and hang out and let's all be friends. But for the rest of the world, I mean the people of the Boiling Isles, this is like life and death for a lot of them. And for Luz and her friends, it was like they needed to stop Belos. But now there's also this weird addition of this celestial being that like how the hell do they stop him? So it was kind of cool to see that, but then also it was just like I think as audience members we were just like, what the heck are they gonna do now?
No, I
Because
definitely agree. Yeah.
the collector was just again just very unpredictable. But
Let's talk about that whole situation here, right? Because the collector isn't, what would you call that thing? Like he's a, like they're trapped in a weird glass
mention plane? I don't
thing,
really know.
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Belos is basically like telling them, it's okay, once the draining spell is complete, I'll free you. That was the deal. That's what basically Belos has been promising him. But then Belos being a shithead, and this is the mildest adjective I'm going to call this dude at this point, right? He's basically like, I've run out of uses for you. Bye. I'm not setting you free. Bye. And he just drops the collectors, whatever that thing is, into some deep ditch in wherever they are at this point. And it's like, and then the whole situation with Ida having to pose as Rain with a sigil and all. Let's talk about how serious that is. Because, dude, this is a woman who valued her freedom and her ability to practice all kinds of magic more than anything. And now she's willing to risk all of that to make sure that nobody else ever has to deal with someone like Belos again. That's incredible. And I think Rain sees that. She's worried about Ida. I hate them so much for this. I hate them so much for this because they have a moment. They're like, because Ida's like telling Rain, hey, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. And then Rain's just like, don't tell me not to worry. And they're like, don't do that. And like, I hate them so much.
Yeah, no, I mean it is, especially for Ida, it's a huge deal because, like you said, she has always valued her freedom and her, I guess, like desire to not be part of a coven and
Conform.
just do her own thing. Yeah, that has always been like her motto, her thing, her way of life, for lack of a better term.
Exactly.
But now at like this super important like crossroads, she's, you know, deciding to like take on a sigil, and I think she's totally aware of what it means. But I think
Oh,
at this
yeah.
moment, it's like, I would rather do this and lose my freedom or lose my way of life or whatever than have my family and
And
like
my
my
home
kids be impacted.
destroyed.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
so it is very bittersweet because I think as viewers, you don't want Ida to give that up, but at the same time, you understand where she's coming from and why she's doing what
For
she's doing
sure.
because at this point, it's like she's not doing it because she wants to, I think, save the Boiling Isles. I think she's doing it mostly for Luz and for King and Lilith and like
For sure.
her group of friends and her family. And like, if she can save the rest of the Boiling Isles, that would be like icing on the cake for her. But I don't think
But
she's
mainly
looking at
it's
it as
this.
like, yeah, if it's just like her family, Rain, her friend, like those are the people that she wants to like do this for and the people that she's really trying to save and protect.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. But then let's also talk about the whole fight scene between Belos and Luz, because that is a whole thing altogether, for real. That's like really something, and it turns epic. So let's talk about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was so cool to watch because I think up until that point, obviously, Luis hadn't gone against Bellows. She, I
Not
mean, not quite
at
that
this
way.
level. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not this way, not quite with magic. And the way she also just like, uses her skill and I think just her like general knowledge to like force him to take on a sigil to like try and make
It's
him
pretty
part of the very
cool.
thing that he's trying to like do. Yeah, that was a very clever move and it's very cool to see.
Yep. You are absolutely right about that because, oh my God, first of all, let's talk about how Rain and Ida's plan gets discovered because of some idiot coven heads like Terra. Like, that's the dumbest thing ever. It's frustrating. I mean, we knew it was kind of bound to happen. We were hoping that they would be successful, but we knew that something would go wrong. And then the draining spell starts to take effect. And anyone who has a sigil is basically getting drained by the whole thing. And then in the midst of all of this, like we saw, Kikimora was had brought has brought brought in Luz instead of Hunter. And this is when this is when Luz and Bellows have that big showdown. And again, Bellows kind of reveals the kind of shitty person that he is in this. In the fact that he's like, I just want to be a witch hunter general, not realizing that he's been away for like hundreds of years, the jackass. But I love how Luz loses their smart, like fashion sense like that. Yikes, my dude! Like, just like,
Yeah,
girl,
also, I
what
love
timing?
that. Yeah, no, the timing was great, but also, I love that, like, Bellows, like, he had this elaborate plan that ultimately boils down to, like you said, him wanting to be a witch hunter, and he never stopped to consider that he had been prolonging his life and, like, doing
Yeah,
something
exactly,
that
for
would just
centuries.
extend, like, right. And, like, he just assumed that, like, nothing would have changed in that time. Like, he could just pop back into the human realm and just expect everything to be exactly as he left it. And it's like,
Exactly. That's so
good job.
dumb.
A for effort.
Yeah,
You tried, you failed miserably, but
I
kudos
mean,
for like just blocking out how time works and like doubling down on this crazy plan.
exactly. And oh my God. But then again, I love how Luz uses her smarts to basically, like you said, turn the tables on him at this point because look at how crazy this is. That idiot is so selfish. He knows what a sigil does to people. He started that whole process to control the people, the populace of the Isles, basically. And the way she sees this, I love how she basically is like, yeah, let's shake on it. I'll be your guide to the human realm. And you can basically then we'll go back to the human realm and you can do whatever you want. And she basically ends up branding him with a sigil, and that basically turns him into whatever goop he was in Hollowmind,
Sounds
which is
right,
like
yeah.
crazy, which is scary to say the least. But then you have the other kids like Willow, Hunter, Amity, and Gus join the fight, which is again a really cool fight sequence to see. But then let's talk about what King discovers. He's like, I have to help these guys. I can't just sit around and wait for this to happen. And Kikimora, weirdly enough, turns out to be a little bit useful here for all her uselessness for the rest of the show. So let's talk about
Yeah.
that. And let's talk about how scary it is that this little guy makes a deal with the collector at this point. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, one, it was just really nice to see that, like, Luz didn't have to fight Bellows alone, and, like, at the final hour, I guess, her friends came to help her. But then, yeah, Kikimora being useful was not something that I predicted the first time I watched this because she's had. It was kind of, like, not frustrating. It was more annoying than anything, but it felt like Luz was just being very kind to her and just giving her chances and being like, all right, I'll trust you now, maybe. Or like, I'll trust you now. Or not even so much trusting her, but like there were points where it was like, why is Kikimora allowed to get away? Why don't they just like haul her to like eat on Lilith and like let them like go to town on her? or something like that. But
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, she had her moment of usefulness where she reveals that only the collector can stop the draining spell.
Yep.
And then King, bless him, who's just like, just wants to help his friends and his sister, really, because that's what we see
Which
from
I
him.
love. Oh my God.
And
Let's talk. I hate it.
he manages to free the collector. And again, the collector is all levels of chaos, and he's just like unpredictable. You never know what to expect with him. And the crazy thing is, he manages to stop the draining spell in seconds, and just like literally just like a snap of his fingers, and the draining spell is just gone, or it's like done. I don't even know how you'd really describe it, but again, because he is so unpredictable, he starts like just reshaping the Boiling Isles and changing things, because now that he's like free, he's like, oh my God, like friends and toys and people I can play with and people who play with me.
Oh
But
God, yeah.
he's also crazy powerful, and I
Yes,
think
and
everybody is scared about that.
Let's talk
So
about this because there's so much going on here. Because why, with the draining spell going on, Ida and Rain, they're both getting the energy drained out of them, but Ida is literally disintegrating because her curse messes with that sort of magic. So Rain, in order to protect Ida, they just go up to her and like, I promise Luce that I would protect you, and she literally breaks that arm off. And
Yeah,
I'm
I mean,
like, props to you, Rain, but holy shit.
one, the amount of, like, I guess, strength, like, not physical strength, although some of that too, but like,
Will, basically.
yeah, like that must have taken for Rain to do that, because it's willingly hurting somebody that they love, but also it's
Yeah, they
hurting
love
them to
Ida for
protect them.
sure. Yeah.
So it's like that weird, I don't know, it makes for good angst, which I love, but it was also a
I'm a
little bit
sucker
like,
for
this
that,
is
but
being
like, please.
yeah, no, it was a little bit like bittersweet when you think about it, that like they had to go to that extreme to save Ida.
I absolutely
But
agree.
yeah, I mean, it was just wild that like they got to that point, that they had to resolve, like they had to resort to that to like protect each other.
Absolutely. And let's talk about Vela's basically tricking the collector again. He's Vela's is basically see looking at the collector and is like, yeah, you're free as promised. And the collector is just like, as promised, you threw me down a whole cave, and now you're basically lying to me. I'm not mad, but basically, let's just, d deal with this. We're gonna play a game. And he basically tags Velos so hard, he basically splats onto the wall and like it's just goop now. And I'm like, sir, I am very scared of you at this point. So like,
Yeah, I mean, like that's the bizarre part, that like the collector is like literally like has the brain of like a 5-year-old kid, but like all the powers of like a god essentially, and doesn't understand like
Mortality.
the well that, but just also like just doesn't understand things that like, I mean, he has like a 5-year-old outlook, so of course he's not gonna understand like the seriousness of the situation, and he's not gonna understand like why the like people of the Boiling Isles are fighting for what they're fighting for at this particular moment. And it's just a lot of like, you can't even really call it miscommunication, because it's not even miscommunication. It's just that he has a completely different like mental level almost. Like he just, I don't know, it's very weird. But yeah, I mean, Bella's trying to like pull one over on the collector again and then kind of failing was kind of funny. Not that it lasts for long, because with all the collector's powers, you would think that he would just like kill Bella's outright. But no luck, at least not in this episode. But yeah, I mean, the collector being added into the mix like at this point in time is like, it was cool to see, because he's like a wild card. You don't know what he's gonna do, but then also because he's a wild card, it's like that just makes him very dangerous to like the good guys too. And like we I think see how dangerous it is because once he's out, he's just like, oh, I just want to play with everybody. I want everybody to be my friend. And he literally starts reshaping the Boiling Isles to do that. And it's
I
like
want to talk about that for a second because that scene is fucking hilarious, okay? Like, I'm telling you, it's so funny. Like, King is basically trying to convince this kid to not destroy everything. He's like, buddy, calm down. You still have to play that other game, remember? And they all have to be alive to be able to play this game. And then the way Hunter and every single one of them reacts to seeing the collector like that is like comedy gold in an episode with so much seriousness, but it's still not lost on us that, oh my god, this kid can destroy us all with a snap of their fingers if they wanted to. Like,
Yeah,
seriously.
literally. Yeah, and I mean, I think King also is like very aware of that because the
Yeah.
collector like literally just pops into existence in this episode and within seconds just starts wreaking havoc. But also, like with him stopping the draining spell, you can see how powerful he is despite being so young. And so it's like, okay, we kind of have to tread carefully here because we don't know what he's gonna do. And I think that's what makes like the last few minutes of this episode so much more like intense because the collector is just kind of going on this weird like I don't know reshaping spree where he's just like trying to make everybody toys so that they can be friends with him whatever. And I think King is just like I need to save my friends, like they can't be a part of this whatever this is. And he makes a deal to like stay with the collector and be his friend. And I don't even know if it's so much in exchange for his friend's safety, so much as King just forcing them to safety and,
Oh, let's talk about
pushing
that
them
moment because,
through the
oh my
portal.
God, it broke my heart. And it's ridiculous because the portal, Belos has finished that portal, right? And he only has enough Titan blood to power the portal for one
Use.
passage or whatever.
Yeah, one use essentially,
Yeah,
like.
exactly. So, and then because, like you said, the collector is like reshaping the Boiling Isles, that portal is unstable, and the kids, the all the kids are like running through it, but then Luz is staying back, and she's like, I have to get Ida and King. I can't let them go. And then King is just like, we gotta King is like, no, I can't stay with you this time. I'm sorry. And then, like you said, he forces Luz and everyone else through the portal. And the last thing you see is King flying back towards the collector, and the portal door shuts down, and it's gone.
Yeah,
And
and
I'm
also
like,
like I mean that in itself is a huge thing to try and like I think come to terms with for them, but then also where they end up is also very bittersweet because now they're back in the human realm, which is great for Luz, but Willow and Amity and Gus, like they've
And
got people
Hunter,
on the
yeah,
other side. And well,
exactly.
I mean, I think for Hunter would like to go back to the Boiling Isles, but he doesn't have parents the same
No,
way
I
the rest of
agree.
the kids
Yes,
do.
yes, 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 yes.
So I think for him, it's probably just like the Boiling Isles is the only home he's ever known, so he would probably like to go back. But for the other kids, it's like their families are on the other side, and like they want, like they need to go back. But they're all stranded in the human realm, and like the last shot of the episode is Luz taking them all to her house, and
And just
you
telling her
know,
mom, hey mom, I'm back. And that's it. That's it. Oh my God. Like
it was a really
cliffhanger.
intense, like, yeah, and just having to wait for like season three, and then season three being like a condensed version, and that was a whole other thing, but
That's another situation that we can
yeah.
talk
Which
about
I'm sure we'll
later.
rant about in next week's episode.
Oh yeah, for
But
sure, dude, for sure.
yeah, I mean, talk about like crazy finales. Like this was definitely like one that I mean, I love angst. Like I'm a sucker for it, but like
Same.
when there's cliffhangers and angst, I'm like, no, give me the rest. I'm so impatient. I need all of it like right now. I just want to know answers to everything.
Like,
But yeah, I
seriously.
mean, as far as finales go, though, like this, as like intense as it was so good. Like just all the reveals, like the way everything ended up like coming together and playing out. Like, I mean, we've said this before, but props to like Dana and the writers and the crew and the cast and like everybody, because it was like a hell of a season,
It really
and as we put it
was.
mildly.
Considering everything that they had to get through, they really managed to, knock this out of the park. Like, literally, it was great. And it left us wondering when the heck are we getting season three? Because we knew that that was going to be. Unfortunately, at this point, we kind of knew that it was going to be three specials, 3 hour long type specials was all we were going to get. And that is what we're going to discuss in next week's episode because we are getting into the series finale of The Owl House next week. All of season three, which I think works really well as a continuous movie kind of thing, to be honest with you. But like, really great stuff. Again, a phenomenal story told really, really well. We cannot wait to share our thoughts on season three with you. If you've stuck with us this far, thank you. We really appreciate you. And again, like I said, we will see you guys next week with season three of The Owl House. Thanks, guys.
You. As always, our lovely theme song is Water Lily by the 126ers. The Nerdy Podcasts podcast is available on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and you can follow us online at nerdy-podcasts.tumblr.com or at nerdypodcasts.wordpress.com.